We continue our learning. We are in Adios, Perek Beis, Mishnah Ches. Shlosha Devarim Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said three things. Al Shnaim Hodulo, the Chachamim agreed with him on two of those three things. Val Echad Lo Hodulo, but on one they did not. So what's number one? Al Sandal Shal Sayadim Shutame Midras. The first one, which the Chachamim agreed with his Psak Halacha, was the following. A sandal of Sayad, people who work with lime, they would wear sandals in order to protect their feet so they wouldn't get burnt. It was very hot, but they were dealing with. Some say the sandal was made of straw that he would put upon his own sandals to cover them up, either so that his own sandals, his own shoes, wouldn't become ruined because of the lime. And Rabbi Akiva said that those sandals are Tamei Midras. We spoke about Tamei Midras. That's where a Zafar, as an example, if he leans on something, sits on something, things like a bed or a mattress, which people typically, typically lie on or lean on or sit on, can become a very high level of Tumah, the same level of Tumah that he is. He's an Avatumah, and that becomes an Avatumah as well. So that Tamei Midras, he claims, because these are shoes, Vizav would be wearing these sandals that the Sayadim, that these people deal with lime, with plaster, would be using, if a Zav would wear them, he would make them Tamei Midras. You'll say, but these sandals are not typical sandals. They're not made for walking. They're just there for protection. Nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva said, they have the status of any other shoe, because sometimes the person who's the Sayad, the one who's dealing with the lime, will go home with them and wear them home, even though they're typically for work. Therefore, they are Tamei Midras, for that reason. Now, halacha number two, v'hal shiarei tanur arba'a, literally the leftovers of an oven, four. Four what? So it's four, a height of four tvachim. What is this talking about? The tanurim in those days, the ovens where they would bake bread, were made of from cheres, were made of earthenware. We know that when it comes to earthenware, mentioned in the past, that if it becomes tameh, you can't put it in the mikvah. The only way to make something, the only way to rid earthenware of tumah is to destroy it. In fact, the Torah says in Parsha Shmini, tanur v'kiraim yutatz. Tameim, you have a tanur, which is the oven, kiraim is the stove, all made of earthenware. If they're tameh, you want to rid of them of the tumah yutatz, you have to break them. What happens if after it's broken? So if it's broken into smithereens, so then you put it back there, there's no tumah at all. But let's say you break them into pieces, and the pieces are rather large. Would we say that it loses its status of being a tanur, of earthenware, of a clay cheres, and therefore the tumah has been removed? Do we say, no, the tumah remains, because there are significant pieces of pottery that remain. So the halacha that Rabbi Akiva comes to teach us is that shiarei tanur, the leftover, after you break a tanur, if you have pieces that are arba'a, that are four tfachim in height, then it retains its tumah. But if it's less than that, so then it no longer retains its tumah. Not only if it was tumah, if it was already tumah, if you break it and there's a piece that's four tfachim or larger that of height that remains, it remains tumah. But let's say what the whole tanur was not tumah, and now you broke it, and now you have a piece that's large. That piece is considered a kli and potentially to become tumah. Someone tumah touches it, and not from the outside, after you said, but on the inside, and maybe in the airspace. So, but what's the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva? So the Mishnah tells you, shahayu omim shlosh. The Chacham used to be strict, and they would say that even if you have a piece that's three tfachim high remaining from a tanur, that's considered significant and is mekabel tumah, and if there was tumah upon it, the tumah has not been removed from the oven. If you have pieces that big, comes Rabbi Akiva to say, no, if you have a tanur that's broken and there's a piece that's three tfachim, two tfachim, between three and four tfachim, that's not high enough to be mekabel tumah anymore, it's considered broken. Rabbi Akiva says, but if it's four tfachim, that is significant, and that's mekabel tumah, so that's considered a leniency with respect to the laws of tumah. So those are the two areas. Number one, which is the sandalim of the sayadim, the sandals of the people who deal with lime, that they're tameh medris. The fact that the leftover piece of a tanur that's tameh is arba'a and not shlosha, that was halacha number two, Rabbi Akiva, the chachamim agreed with. And they agreed, val echad lo. But what halacha did Rabbi Akiva say that they did not admit to? al kise she nitlu shnayim mechipuyav ze bitzad ze. We mentioned already in the first parak, Mishnah Yud Aleph, that when you have a chair, so the chair would have a frame. That frame was called the malbein, and then you have chipuyim, accessories, or whatever everything else. And chipuyim, in fact, not only includes accessories, but even let's say pieces of wood, slats of wood that are on that you're able to sit on. That's considered chipuyim as well. So Mishnah says, if you have a kisei shenitlu shnayim mechipuyav, imagine you have a chair and you have slats of wood that allow you to sit on it, that are placed in the frame. And the two, yeah, there are three of them, and the two of either side of the chair, or the right side of the chair, the left side of the chair, are removed. And all you have this is one piece of wood in the middle, not so comfortable to sit on, one piece of wood in the middle. So the Mishnah here says, Rabbi Akiva mitame, Rabbi Akiva believes that chair is still mekabel tuma, tumas medris, or any other as a type of kli, because it still can be used in its state, even though there's only one board that's left. V'chachamim mitarin, and the chachamim say no, it's not mekabel tuma, since it's not royally yeshiva, it's considered a broken kli. It's not mekabel tuma. Rabbi Akiva would say maybe people wouldn't sit on it, but maybe you can use it as something else, as a clay kibble to put something inside or to lean something on it. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says it's still mekabel tuma. The chachamim say no, it's tahor, and here the chachamim did not agree with him. Perek Beis Mishnah Test. Who are Ya'omer? We continue to speak of Rabbi Akiva, but these are not words of halacha, they're words of agada, as we will see. Ha'av zochel abein binoi uva koach uva osher uva chachma uva shanim. So generally speaking, says Rabbi Akiva, a child receives from the father many of these qualities. Noi is how handsome he is koach is strength, osher is wealth. Wealth is maybe obvious because the fact that he inherits from the father. Uva chachma, wisdom, his intelligence. Uva shanim, and if the father lived was zochel to longevity, so generally in terms of health, we assume the child will be zochet to the same. Uve mispar hadoros lefanav. And in what other way do we say what does a child receive from the father? It says the number of generations in front of him, vehu haketz, which is the ketz. So what does this mean? So the Bar Tanura here writes the following. Rav Tanura says pa'amim shehakadosh baruch hu mavtiach la'av lasos tova lezaro ledor shlishi. Sometimes Hashem promises to give a father some goodness, some type of gift, but it's not for his immediate children, but maybe the third generation. And the father is zoche that even though it's not his children, that eventually in the future, Hashem is here all the time, Hashem promises this gift for to a future generation. And hu haketz, what's a ketz? Ketz means that it's the end, it's fixed. So he explains, says the Bar Tanura, shekatzav HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'oso davar sheyeh lizman ploni l'dor ploni. Hashem has set into place, that's what ketz means, he set into place, he's kotzeitz, he fixes that this is going to happen in this particular generation. And then the Mishnah gives an example of that. Mishnah says, shenei amar nishayahu perek mem aleph, korei hadoros meros, which means Hashem is koveah, he fixes in place all the way back the destiny of the future of a few, the what's going to be in a future generation, and he gives afal pi shenei amar. So take for example, here's a perfect example of this phenomenon. Shenei amar va'avodum v'inu osam arba meyoshana. What does it say? Promise to Avraham. It's true that your children will not be spared from Golus, from exile, and they're going to be suffering, and they'll be slaves for 400 years. But v'nei amar. But it also says that v'dur revi'i yoshivuhena. The fourth generation will return, and so this is a haftacha that was given to the father, although he didn't see it in his children. So that we understand why this is in the Mishnah. Although a child is often zoche to that which the father has noy and koach and osher and chachma and shanim. But there are times also, misparha daros lefanav, that child will not receive something, But v'huah kates, but it'll be katsuv, it'll be fixed from the beginning. Hashem has a haftacha, has a promise that will come to fruition in 3-4 generations from now. And we see this with Avraham, and that's what it means. He's korei hadaros meirosh. Hashem calls it out from the very beginning. Something that will happen in future generations. And in fact, we saw this with the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Eventually, four generations, the fourth generation, return to Eretz Canaan.